My name is Jack Carrington, but it's John by rights. Well, my father was Jack, so that I got young Jack. When I married a gaffer, I still got called young Jack. And all my life I've been called Jack. But my true name is John Carrington. First thing I remember is being at Tinsley Park. Then we moved from there to Skeller, which is again Doncaster. And I went to school at Skeller. We moved from there to a new pit that were opening at Upton. And my father went there.
And your dad was a miner as well, then?
He was a good bloke with my dad. He went to Upton pit. Now then, I was 14 when he went to pit. And what I did, I worked for a grocer for 12 months, which were Johnson's, and I used to ride a big bike and take her around. Well, from Upton, my dad moved then to Water Edge. Well, I went to Water Edge first, before he moved.
Oh, I see, right.
You see?
Right.
And then when he moved, because there were five lads in our family, I was the oldest lad. When we moved, you see, I was already at Water Edge Colliery then.
And because you got a job there, he was able to get
well,
a job there.
Well, he came. Well, he was a top bloke with me, Dad. No kid about him. I looked at bit of clamming and whatever you do.
What's clamming?
Well, that's moving tubs on all his rope, clamming them on. You clamp for a clam up front, 12 tubs, and then a clam up back. See, to keep it shut, and it used to travel 3/4 mile.
And that was what, pulled by an engine?
Haulage engine, 250 horsepower. But it run 1.5 mile in that rope.
Underground?
Underground, yeah.
And was the engine underground as well?
Yeah, right. That was in the pit bottom, well, near pit bottom.
So that was your first job at Water Egg?
Water Egg, where I were clam lad.
And you were you'd be what, 15 or 16?
Well, I were about 15, 16, 17. And then when you were 18, you could go work with your father at Coalface. So when I was 18, I went to work with my father. Well, in my 19th year, I got a fracture at base of skull. And I was 2.5 days in Leeds Infirmary and 13 weeks in bed.
Tell me how that happened then. Was that a rock fall?
Well, no. We were walking at the top of a drift, they call it. That's hill. My dad used to fill this tub, my Uncle George. And then I used to take it down steady, lower it, and don't let it jump as it come off it. And it was a hell of a job to get it back on. So it was jumping with my dad lowering it down like. And I put my foot up back to steady it. What happened, it was too much for my dad to hold. Well, I went to bottom of the hill with it.
And banged your head on the way.
Well, I walked up in Leeds Infirmary, General Infirmary. And my mother and dad had been, and I'd been in 2.5 days then, unconscious. And I went off again. I came round, and my mother and dad were there again. Anyhow, I pulled through. I went to work that pit then as an ordinary worker, you know, when after my accident, a light job they call it, which was clamming coal on.
Right, so you went back to clamming.
I went back down that pit. Well, while I was out pit, I suddenly thought, well, I'll go to night school. And at the time I got married, 1941, we moved to Stanley. And I went to Wakefield College and I passed my deputy certificate there. And then I went from there and I went to Whitwood Night School and got my mechanical engineer certificate. And then manager sent for me, which I tell you, they got to know everything what was going on. And he gave me underground engineer's job. Well, I had 20 first class fitters, 10 semi-skilled and four apprentices.
So this is Water Hague?
Yes, it was.
And who was that manager who gave you that job?
Billy Williams. He was a bloody good manager. But one thing about him was, he knew me. I was brought up with a lad while he were under manager. And he respected me. And he thought, well, he thought a bloody world of me. when I got married with two lads, and the youngest were born in 1945. Well, that's when I passed both my engineer's certificate and my deputy certificate that year. Why, when I went back to Pitt, I could tell Billy Williams, right, I can do what I like, I can leave you. And then that's how I went. And
were you still working when you were studying?
Yeah, I went to night school at Whitwood. And I went to night school at Wakefield. And I got them both. And he got to an audit manager, I tell you, sent for me. And he told me, and I said, well, I've already got a job at Stanley Main. He says, then I was working here at Waterick. So I worked, say, about 18 years out at Gaffer, underground.
Tell me more about your job underground. Tell me how many men you worked with and what you did.
Well, 20 fitters. We worked 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And with two pits, number one pit and number three pit. So with three fitters on each district. And then there were 10, they weren't full fitters, they were learners, like, and four apprentices. And I had them about 18 years.
What was the job? What were you fitting? What kind of bits of machinery did you work on?
Coal cutters, haulages, boring guns, anything. Your man see it underground, we repaired it.
And the conveyor belts?
Conveyor belts. We'd first of all with haulage. And then they did away with haulage and put two conveyors in, a 900 yards and a 700 yards, one to follow up back over. Okay. And I put them conveyors in myself.
So tell me more about what was the haulage then. When you first started at Water Egg, you had the haulage with the tubs. Remind me how many tubs was on a haul then?
Well, we used to have about 21.
From the coal face to the pit bottom?
From the coal face to the pit bottom, we used to put a clam on, set it off, and on last 21 tub, there were a clam on what you do on that side.
Yeah.
You put that on a lot, and that went nearly a mile.
And the engine, was that a steam engine that pulled them?
No, it was electric engine, main haulage, about 150 horsepower, I think it was. And with that to look after and all.
How many roadways was there going away from the pit bottom?
You see, if you're going down a number one pit, you go straight down to Little Coal, which goes up a drift. You turn left, you go down to a yard seam, which is three faces down there. One face up at Little Coal. You go down to Beeston, you're two faces down there. Now, that were only in one pit. Now, in number three pit, you had about five more faces down.
And was number one pit deeper underground than number three, or was it the other way around?
Now then, you got my ear. I think number one pit was deepest, because number three pit was air return. You see, with a pit, air goes down one shaft, goes round, and comes out of another shaft. We closed all closed doors. As it come out at number three, we all closed doors.
So underground, number one pit and number three pit were connected by all the...
Well, with the air, when it complete, we're right round and connected, yeah. You see, when it went down pit, you had two roads. You had your air, which were going in, and your air, which were coming out, which were a return road.
Yeah.
So whatever road you made, any conveyor, you always made two roads. One of the cold air to go in, go around and come out and go out into hot air.
So you were telling me that you were responsible after the Second World War for the change between the haulage and the conveyors.
Everything underground.
You put the conveyors
we
in?
We put
there.
The conveyors in. We got a Panzer conveyor from Germany and we put it in. And I was a type of underground engineer. There are 20 men, 30 men, but I worked with them. I'd go with them sometimes, it was nasty. I'd go, just because I worked gaffer, that didn't bother me. I'd go work with them, and we all used to work together.
Did you have to do a lot of night shift working then?
Well, I've gone back, I once did 26 hours underground on this mechanical Panzer, and they sent me two glasses of bread and drink down, two bottles of water while I was down, and I got buried that day. I got buried when I was down. But lucky enough, they broke all my teeth. But lucky enough, there was a manager and all them that come next day, you see, who makes morning with us. And he got on me and he shook me and he says, "The teeth broke, Jack." I says, "I think it bloody is and all." But I'll look at my helmet and I've got a gun of chalk. And I took so much of it, you see. So he says, "What's want to do? Want to go out?" I said, "No, I'll bloody finish it." And I stopped. I was 26 hours there and I got it, that machine right. I won't leave it. I never left a machine. No, that a cobble cutter, whatever it was, a mine and tail engine, I stopped with it. And I got it right. I never let them down once.
How long did you work at the pitfall? Can you remember when
you retired? Well, Fort Egg, about 18 years. And then we got him, Billy Williams left then to become an area manager. And we got a man that came from a drift mine somewhere over south the side of Wakefield. And we fell out. I tell him straight up he wanted a manager. I mean, all right, because I could do my job. I said, "You're not a bloody manager. You only worked at the drift mine. You don't know what a manager's job is." Well, he decided to get shot with me, but he couldn't, like. So the job come up to work at number 8 area, travelling 17 pits, 24 hours a day. Well, I put in for it, and Billy Williams got at me. So next 7 years, I worked and travelled all them pits, you see. And then I was getting to 47, I think I was. And I thought, bugger this. So I went to work at Copperworks. And when I went to work at Copperworks, the two top bosses as engineers were two lads I brought up at Water Egg. So I got away with murder. So then up to retiring at 65 from there, I got away with murder.
What can you remember about some of the lads that you worked with at Water Egg?
Well, they were all right. They were all right because they had to be. If one were doing wrong and he didn't, I took him off and gave him a rollicking. Then I shook hands with him, that was the end of it. But if fitter weren't right, and one of the under managers, or I didn't care whether it was manager or whatever, had been on to him, I went into the manager's office at 8:30 when he came, and collared him and gave him a rollicking. He used to laugh for a cup of tea, but he used to accept it. I'll give him his dough.
And what kind of things did they do wrong? Was it mucking about down the pit or what?
Say a fitter, he told him to do a job, like one of the deputies, tell him to do a job, and he did it, and he probably wasn't as good as what he should be. So I got on to him, played out with him, you see, and that, well, straight away, that upset me. Nobody played out with my fitters, none of them. Not unless they were right. If they were right, I agreed with him, and I'd get fitters a rollicking and all. But I stuck by him, and that's why I got to be a good name in the right area.
Did your lads get paid more or less than the miners themselves?
Well, miners were different wages, you see. You were a machine man. Going back a bit, you got £2.50, £2.10 to a shift, which were a lot of money them days, because I only got 16 shillings before I was a bloody gaffer. And when I went to be a gaffer, I only got £1,900 a year.
What was it like in the 1930s then, before all this machinery came in?
Well, we were putting all the machinery in. We'd all coal cutters on all faces.
Even before the Second World War?
Before the Second World War. Well, no, start of the Second World War we got it. The first machine we got was a Sullivan. We worked it like. And then we got BJDs. Now, BJDs was the ace of coal cutters. We had Maver and Coulson's. BJD of Wakefield was the ace of machines. There was the good. They made them in America and all. And there was a good machine. Well, one of them, I could take it through together, do what I like with it and make it right.
What was it like working for the Briggs Company? What were they like then?
Well, they were all right because, as I said, if you did your job, at that my time, if you did your job, you got respected. If you didn't, you got sacked. That's in them days.
Tell me more about Billy Williams.
Well, Billy Williams was a good manager. We had plenty of arguments. I used to fall out with him because, as I said, I have a job to do. He once sent for me, our underground engineer, and Bernard Tonkinson, to pull us up. So I said, well, what's your bloody argument? I said, we do our job. He said, yeah, but I don't get to know nothing about it. I said, well, you're a manager, you shouldn't know nothing about it. I said, we do our job, and you'll play out with us if we don't do that job. I said, so why are we doing the job? I'm not telling you. That's not do. I said, I won't bloody tell you, no. I said, I know. So I said to Bernard, what do you say, Bernard? Because he's a bit back, a bit more of a gaffer man with Bernard. Well, he said, we do our best. That's all he said. So Billy Williams looked at me, he says, piss off, both of you. But he thought the world of me, did Billy Williams.
Right.
I spoke my mind, you see, because I could do a job. Mm. I mean, I got buried twice while I paid. The second time, there were men working against me, and they dug me out, and I were all right. And I hold a solid face on a machine at Newmarket Colliery. When weight come on, that were all lot coming in. Now I'm at middle of pace, man's gone off. So I was 50 yards that way, or 50 yards that way, which I knew I couldn't do, I'd be killed. But someone says to me, see if there's a middle gate in, it's 200 yard pace, the generally's a middle gate. So I went to God, which it were all coming in. And lucky enough, there was a middle gate. And I went to the end of that middle gate and sat down 20 minutes. Before I settled down, went round it load again, and they said, we'll give you up as bloody dead. I said, I nearly give myself up as bloody dead. And I were in my 40, well, I was looking in my 30 odds then.
There was an accident in about 1956 when Billy Williams got a George Medal. Can you remember that?
When he got George Medal for that, there was two men involved. There were a pole. And they got this man who were buried, and they went in and weight were on. And between them, they got him out, but he was dead. Yeah. He was a good man, but Billy Williams. He was a bugger. If you didn't work for him, all like that, he'd bloody sacked you.
Somebody said there was his office had a big window that he could look out on the pit.
Well, he could. He used to look out at bloody pit. He used to look out at one man coming, anybody coming into a thing. Look out at others sitting into the pit yard. I have a right pit man, I'll give him his due. He was brought up, he was under manager in number 3 pit. And his father was under manager in number 1 pit. And he used to give his father some bloody hammer. He did. And when he come, cause when he come manager, he used to give his father some bloody hammer. And I used to laugh about it, but that's how it was. And he gave him some bloody hammer, told man. I'm going to be honest, I was good at my job. They had to accept it, and they accepted me as a bloody goffer, you see. And if I went to work with them, I would accept them as a workman with them, because I knew I could do a job, you see. I brought home my father, and I could do practically anything.